O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray you so to open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that through the preaching of your word we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe in Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Welcome to all of you to the service today in the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior, our faithful Savior, who continues to lead and guide us in our lives as his people, steadfastly through the truths of his holy word, as his people, his saints, on our way to heaven. We pray that the Spirit of our God will be poured up out upon us today as we worship our faithful Savior God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We follow the order of worship as you find it printed on the worship liturgy insert in front of the maroon-colored hymnal. We've come into the presence of our God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we've disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth, we sing, we worship you. To you our hearts we raise. Lord God Almighty, Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right and in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify.
Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us without all doubt to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that following his steps, we may steadfastly walk in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. Our first scripture lesson on this, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, is recorded in the book of Ephesians. I mentioned in the opening remarks about the Lord's faithfulness, his steadfastness to us as our Savior God. And in this reading, we note how the Lord uses that relationship of Jesus to his church as the pattern for husbands and wives in their marital relationship. A very beautiful picture indeed. We read in Ephesians 5, 21 to 31, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Here ends the first lesson. Join now in reading responsively selected verses from the 89th Psalm as printed in your bulletin. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. I will declare that your love stands firm forever. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you?
You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you.
Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne.
And faithfulness go before you.
Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you.
Who walk in the light of your presence, Lord.
They rejoice in your name all day long. And our next scripture lesson is drawn from John's Gospel in the 6th chapter. We've been using continuing readings from this Bread of Life chapter the past number of Sundays, and this is the aftermath of the bread of Jesus presenting himself to the people as the bread of life, and also the sad account of how many disciples who were following him avidly before them went back and walked with him no more. But how Simon Peter, as spokesman for the whole group of the 12 disciples, said, Lord, we do not want to go away. We want to remain faithful to you because you have the words of eternal life, which is the confession that we also make as Christians today. We read in John 6, beginning with verse 60. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard saying or a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. These words are written, we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
I invite you to stand as we now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Oh,
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you through the knowledge of God our Father and through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our word for consideration today is taken from Joshua, his book, in the 24th chapter, verses 1 and 2 and 14 to 18. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your fathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God." Here ends the text. In the name of Christ, our blessed Savior, dearly beloved of God, the year was 1892. It was in a September issue of a popular children's magazine that the original version of the Pledge of Allegiance appeared, a bit shorter version than the one that we use today. Since that time, the pledge was modified several times. It was in 1954, during Dwight Eisenhower's presidency, that the pledge took its present form, and it's been used ever since as an expression of American patriotism and loyalty to the flag and to the Republic of the United States of America. Do you know that there are pledges of allegiance that are also found recorded on the pages of Scripture? Scripture contains, for example, the wonderful and most important, beautiful pledge which our Lord has made to us, His believers, His steadfast promise to remain loyal to us always and keep us as the apple of His eye, for Jesus' sake. And there are also pledges and promises and vows which believers of ages past have made, which we read about in the Bible, to remain loyal to the Lord and His Word. And this morning, we want to consider that, what we might call the Christian's Pledge of Allegiance. First and most importantly, as mentioned, God's gracious pledging Himself to us in covenant faithfulness for Jesus' sake, and then the vow or pledge that we have made to stay faithful to the Lord by His grace. Our text takes us back to the days of the servant of God, Joshua. As you probably know, he was the successor of Moses, the man who led the Israelites in their conquest of the land of promise. Joshua served the Lord very faithfully for many, many years. And at the time of our text, he's a very old man, well advanced in years, in fact, over 100. And he summons all the leaders of Israel into his presence that he might deliver to them a farewell address. In this address, he recounted the many marvelous evidences of the Lord's tender mercies towards the Israelite people in their history. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to you has failed, Joshua said. Every one has been fulfilled. You've seen everything he's done for you, how he fought for you, gave you the victory over your foes. And now, you must be very strong to keep and do everything written in the law of Moses. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Be careful. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Serve only him. And also know that just as the Lord has kept every one of his good promises to you, so he will bring on you all the evil that he has threatened if you violate the covenant he made with you. If you were to go after other gods and serve them instead, his anger will burn hot against you, and you'll perish quickly from the good land that he's given you. It was then that the venerable old leader Joshua assembled all the people and the leaders at a place called Shechem for a special covenant renewal ceremony with the whole people of Israel. He reminded them once again of all the wonderful evidences of the Lord's kindness through their history. "This is what the Lord is saying to you today," he said. "You know how your forefathers used to live beyond the river Euphrates and served non-existent idol gods, how I led Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and brought him to Canaan. I gave him the son of promise, Isaac, many descendants. I remained loyal to you all through the 450 years that you spent in Egypt when Pharaoh oppressed you as slaves. I raised up Moses to lead you out, saved you from Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea, guided you all through your desert wanderings, destroyed all your enemies, did not allow the false prophet Balaam to pronounce a curse upon you when the unbelieving king Balak of Moab had hired him to do that, but instead to pronounce a blessing upon you. And after leading you into Canaan, I then helped you defeat the hostile nations who lived there. The walled city of Jericho, walls came tumbling down. The Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And you didn't accomplish this by your skill or military prowess. No, all these blessings you've enjoyed, the comfortable cities you're living in now, the vineyards and olive groves you're harvesting food from which you did not plant, do 100% to my loving kindness, because I pledged myself to you in covenant faithfulness for Jesus' sake." Now, that's quite a lot of history we've recounted and rehearsed from that snippet of the life of Joshua. Does it seem, dear friends, sometimes when we read stories like this from the Bible that it is just, well, ancient history with not a lot of relevance for our lives as God's people today? But as we think more carefully about these Bible accounts, we recognize, don't we, we can see God's merciful dealings similarly in our lives as well, his Christians today. We can detect telltale footprints of his fatherly love and gracious dealings and protection throughout the days and years of our lives, both as individual Christians and as a congregation of Christians like St. Paul Lutheran. As individuals, the Lord brought it about, did he not, that we heard about Jesus, whom he sent in love to liberate us from the captivity of the cruel taskmaster Satan and the threatening perils of our sins. He used his powerful gospel and the working of the Holy Spirit in baptism to bless us with saving faith and enable us to anchor our hopes in Christ. He has also performed many miraculous signs and wonders, by providing us with rich supplies of daily bread, things like recovery from illness when we got sick, strength for the day, deliverance from things like pandemics, power from on high to bear up under individual crosses that he, in his wisdom, calls upon us as his people to bear. As a congregation, again, he's led us in faithfulness, defeating our Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites and Girgashites and Hittites. Here I'm thinking of the hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realms that St. Paul speaks about in Ephesians that seek to hinder and harm us on our trek towards our heavenly fatherland. And also protection from, deliverance from the false Balaam prophets and false teachings which would do our faith spiritual harm, which would lead us away from the good paths and the good way, away from the pleasant pastures of the Good Shepherd and his pure gospel centered on his cross and empty tomb. The Lord might ask us today, who's kept you as individual believers and us as a congregation true to the Lord? Well, same answer, it's God. Beautiful gospel answer. God who has pledged himself to us in covenant faithfulness for Jesus' sake. All praise be to him. And what encouragement and strength this also affords us, dear friends, and what inspiration it gives to us then to renew continually our pledge of allegiance or faithfulness to him. As Joshua told his fellow Israelites back then, after recounting the many evidences of God's goodness and love through their history, as he urged them to fear the Lord and serve him with faithfulness, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when they responded, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods, we too will serve the Lord, for he is our gracious God. So we want to renew and we want to reaffirm our pledge of allegiance to the Lord. In fact, you might think of each Sunday service conducted at God's house as a Shechem, a place where the Lord gathers us to reaffirm his commitment to us as the God of our salvation and to let our hearts be filled with a holy awe and reverence due our Heavenly Father who has pledged himself to us. And then to let that love of God be expressed in our ongoing commitment to the Lord our God and his word, holding it fast, turning aside, neither to the right hand or to the left. And to let our love for the Savior be shown in our behavior and our attitudes towards others, keeping in mind the what Jesus said, that when we serve others in love, we're actually serving him. So we serve Jesus and the people around us by loving deeds we do for our spouse at home, as we heard in our first reading, being thoughtful, considerate, patient, and forgiving towards your husband, towards your wife. By the faithful work you put in at the workplace, towards your boss or your employer, even when it isn't very easy. By the spirit of cooperation we show our working together with our fellow believers here at St. Paul Lutheran. And I might challenge you this morning to do some brainstorming, some thinking, pondering of what you might do for the Lord at church, which you haven't yet perhaps chosen to do, or maybe the opportunities were not there for you to do, and maybe an area where you have special interests or gifts, hidden talents. Might be a window to wash, might be a room to clean, might be a flower bed to weed, some other property issue to help out with those that are already doing so. To, as the saying goes, many hands make for lesser work, to keep that in mind. And another thing to be reminded of, certainly a talent or a privilege the Lord has given to each of us, which is good to be reminded of on a regular basis. Another good work for the Lord is to invite a friend to tell them about Jesus, invite them to church to hear the good news of his redeeming love for us all in his death and his resurrection. By the way, it's a good and important thing, dear friends, to keep in mind that the words of heavenly counsel contained in our Joshua text, where he says, "Choose now whom you will serve, renew your promise of faithfulness," is addressed to people whom the Lord had already adopted as his beloved children. And just because the Lord had chosen the Israelites by grace to be his, that they were in a position to be able to renew and reaffirm their allegiance to him. And so too, it's because Jesus chose us to be his. You know what he said Maundy Thursday night, night before he died? "You didn't choose me, but I chose you. Appointed you to go bear fruit, fruit that will last." It's because of that we are able to make a choice to serve and obey the Lord and to remain loyal to him by the Spirit's enabling power. Instead of choosing, like the people of the world, the god of self that would lead people to place their thinking above the Scriptures and follow the world's way of thinking in regard to what's true and good and moral and right. Or as the world often chooses, the god of sensual gratification that would induce them to follow the lusts of the flesh and the passing pleasures of sin in a transitory world. Or the god of mammon, which would prompt them and does prompt the unbelieving world to put money and all that it can buy on their heart's pedestal. And of course, they don't have any understanding of what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount or appreciation. "Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." I say it's just because of the Lord's covenant faithfulness to us, his amazing grace revealed in Christ Jesus, by which he's made us his saints, forgives our sins, deals with us mercifully as we trek as pilgrims towards our heavenly promised land, that has given us the ability to pledge ourselves to the Lord, to serve him and others with joyful and grateful hearts. So praise be to the Lord for so blessing you. And then let us say with Joshua and the Israelites of long ago, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, because he is our gracious God." And may it be your comfort and inspiration to know as you continue your walk of faith, in the words of the hymn writer, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Amen. May the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, eternal and almighty God, who kept your promise of grace to the world by raising our Lord Jesus from the dead, grant us the gift of your Holy Spirit, so that through your word he may work in us a true and living faith in you and your Son Jesus. Make us unshakable in that faith, leaving behind any thought of earning your favor for ourselves and turning instead to your grace, that pure holiness that you freely give us on account of Jesus' death in our place. O Lord, since you so loved us, work also in us a growing love in return for you, a love that shows itself by our behavior towards the people around us. Grant that we may always show compassion to those in need, honor all people, be patient and forgiving to those who cause us grief, and have genuine love for all. Help us never to strike back or lash out or get even. Rather, lead us to return blessing for curses and kindness for evil, as our Savior did. Dear Father, move us and all believers everywhere to have grateful hearts for your blessings, and most especially for the gift of our greatest treasure, the gospel of Christ crucified for sinners. Send us forth to the corners of the earth to proclaim the good news of eternal salvation, and prosper us in this work as your ambassadors. Bless, we pray, our nation, so that mercy and truth, honor and peace may prevail everywhere. Give success to those who work for righteousness in our land, and frustrate the efforts of those who work against your will, so that our nation might not come under your disfavor and judgment. Pour out your mercy on all who are in trial or adversity, especially those suffering for the sake of your Son, Jesus. Save them by your mighty power, that they may know that you are the true and only God, and your Son, the true and only Savior. Now, dear Father, for Jesus' sake, forgive our sins, cleanse us by his word, giving us the hope and the promise through him of life everlasting. All this we ask in his name. Amen. We also join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.